Good morning. This is my special guest, my son, Jason. I thought it might be nice for Father's Day to have him up here with me. The first lesson is found in Proverbs 2, starting with verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 111, verse 1 through 10, ESV. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 38. Glory to you, O Lord. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and we're going to ask Mike to come forward and give a children's message. Here comes Jason.
You're welcome. All right, hold on a second. I got to get set up here. All right. Go ahead and have a seat, guys, right here. Have a seat. It's on. Okay. Oh, no, come sit right here. Come sit down right here. Sorry. Okay, Jason, sit right here, bud. Sit right here. Okay, so what is today? Pastor Jeff just talked about it. Father's Day. Now, make sure you treat your fathers very special today, okay? Because they work very hard for you, right? What are some ways that you could treat your dad special today? Go ahead. Oh, cool. Right on. So what did you do for your dad on his birthday? Oh, that's special. That's great. Did you make a card?
Well, I did make.
Oh, Dad. Okay. What else? Jason, do you want to say something about your dad?
Yes. Okay.
Loud. Nice and loud. Okay. Well, you think about that. Well, Father's Day is a very special day, but for some people, today might not be the most special day because maybe they don't have a dad or their dad recently went home to heaven. But we have a heavenly Father that loves us so much, right? And that's God our Father. Okay, Elle, will you please read that scripture for us? It's from 1 John 3, verse 1. Okay, just read it nice and loud. Outdoor voice.
We have very much of the Father.
Louder. Loud. Like you're outside. Loud. There's people in the back.
See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us.
That's okay. It says that he has lavished his love on us. You know what that word lavish means? It means just overwhelmed. He wants to overwhelm us with his love. Now, to help us understand that, we're going to try something. So, pretend this balloon is our heart. I know our heart doesn't look anything like that. It's even the wrong color. But pretend this balloon is our heart. Now, have any of you kids, has someone said something mean to you and it hurts your feelings, right? Well, pretend, okay, you want to close your ears, okay? I'm just going to warn you if anyone's sensitive to balloons popping. So pretend that this pin is something mean that somebody says to you. And when they say it, this is what it can feel like to our heart. Oh, that doesn't feel very good, right? But God wants to lavish his love on us. Thank you. Someone might kneel on that in communion. That would not be good. Thank you, Elle. So let's pretend, again, this is our heart. Can you hold this for me, Elle? Stand up and hold that for me, please. Wait, watch the pin. Watch the pin. Okay. Okay. Now, this says God the Father's love. And let's say it goes around our hearts like that. Now, let me see the pin. Now, when someone says something mean, when we have the Father's love in our hearts by spending time with God, by reading our Bibles and praying, when that mean thing comes to us, it doesn't pop us. The pin is in there. You see the pin is in there? But it didn't pop because the Father's love is surrounding them. Isn't that cool?
Yeah,
yeah, Jason. Jason thinks it's cool. So it's science. I don't know. It's pretty cool. I know. That one popped. So remember, boys and girls, and older boys and girls, to spend time with God through reading our Bibles and praying and going to church, because then we'll know the Father's love, and if somebody says something mean or hurts us, it won't break us, okay? All right, let's pray before this balloon pops. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for coming and dying on the cross for our sins, and thank you, God the Father, for loving us and wrapping us around with your love to protect us. And all God's kids said, amen. All right, guys, let's go to children's church. Can you get that mic?
Before it pops. Thank you, Mike. Tough act to follow, always. But we do our best. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You might remember when Jesus was asked about the greatest commandment, he replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. 2 weeks ago, we talked about loving God with our heart and how that was connected to our service and our obedience. And then last Sunday, Pastor Jeff talked about loving God with all our soul, our entire selves, and how we surrender to God. Great visual on that. And how that's connected to our worship and prayer and spiritual disciplines. I think it's right to ask, what does it mean to love God with our minds? And it turns out there's a commentary on the Bible that I really enjoy. Dennis Prager is a devout Jew, and he's written commentaries on the book of Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And he calls this the rational Bible. And one of his key values is that he never assumes that an idea that's in the Bible is worthy of embracing just because it's in the Bible. As a matter of fact, he kind of discourages blind faith. On the other hand, he encourages, he really even demands that as believers that we think things through, hence the name, the Rational Bible. But he does this himself, and he encourages us to do this with humility. He assumes that if he has a problem with a difficult Bible passage, that it's basically his problem, not the Bible's problem, or not the Bible's author's problem. Prager's the kind of a thinker who just assumes that God gave us brains so that when it comes to understanding our relationship to him and our word, that we use those brains. But it's kind of sad that that's not the attitude of many in our culture today. Many people just sort of assume that faith and thinking are on opposite ends of the spectrum. But Scripture teaches us something completely different. As a matter of fact, God never asks us to stop thinking. In fact, God encourages us to think deeply. The prophet Isaiah, in the first chapter of his great book, famously invites us to use our brains in reading the rest of his book. He opens it by saying, come now, let us reason together. So despite what culture would have us believe, our faith has never been and is not today anti-intellectual. I think instead we can think of it as the pursuit of truth, because God himself is truth. And we remember that Jesus self-identified as the way, the truth, and the life. And so today we continue our sermon series on loving God. And this week's focus is all about loving God with our minds. And I think our readings today reveal four dimensions that we can discern by loving God with our minds. And it turns out that we love our guides, love God with our minds. Number one, when we seek his wisdom. Number two, when we learn from his works. Number three, when we put our trust in Christ. And number four, when we make an intentional effort to sit at his feet. I think it's clear from our reading of Proverbs that wisdom begins with listening. The proverb opens with those beautiful words, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you." And you notice the relationship here, right? It's a father speaking to his child. And throughout the whole book of Proverbs, wisdom is passed from one generation to the next, from father to son, from parents to children, from one older believer to a younger believer. And of course, this is the preferred way that faith is transmitted. I think most of us can remember some word of wisdom that's been passed down to us from our fathers or grandfathers. Things like measure twice, cut once, or always tell the truth, or if you're going to do a job, it's worth doing right. I think it's true that the older we get, the more we discover that some of those simple sayings have real wisdom in them. But you know, the book of Proverbs points us to an even greater father. And because we live in a fallen, broken world, eventually even good earthly fathers will sometimes fail. Because every earthly father is imperfect. And sadly, we know that some fathers are actually absent, others who are loving but are flawed. And it's true that some fathers leave us wonderful examples while others leave us with painful lessons. But the good news for us today is that every one of us has access now to a heavenly Father whose wisdom never fails. The writer of Proverbs says wisdom comes when we accept his words, store up his commands, seek understanding, and search for wisdom. Wisdom that's hidden like treasure. And from those words, you kind of notice, don't you, that wisdom doesn't happen accidentally. You don't just sort of slide or drift into wisdom. You pursue it. You seek it. Hopefully you treasure it. You know, the problem in our culture today isn't a lack of information. We have more information at our disposal than any generation in history. In our pockets, we carry around libraries of information. And yet, we know that information is not the same as wisdom. You know, as the old joke goes, information will tell you that tomato is a fruit, but wisdom tells you not to put it in a fruit salad. That's the difference, right? Wisdom is knowing how to apply knowledge and information and how to live God's way in God's world. And true wisdom comes from our Heavenly Father. And we have access to that wisdom by listening to God's word. The second dimension of loving God with our minds we find in Psalm 111. And here we discover that wisdom grows when we study God's works. The psalmist writes, "Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them." And I just love that word study is used. And the point is that we're not simply to admire God's works, although they're definitely worth admiring. No, we're called to study them. People who love God love to think about God. They pay attention. They notice God's fingerprints, and they study his works. And you know, we can see and we can study God's handiwork, for example, in the vastness and in the complexity of the creation. Or we can see how God has worked in the history of his people Israel, how he protected them, how he provided for them, and even how he forgave them when they rebelled. And of course, we can study the record of God's mighty works just by reading the Bible. In John chapter 20, for example, the apostle wrote, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So here is a key truth that I really would like you to try to hang on to today. Loving God with our minds means paying attention, you know, paying attention to what God has done and is doing in creation and even in our lives. It's this kind of really thoughtful reflection that will lead us to deeper worship. And there's that progression that as you read through Psalm 111, you'll notice it. Study leads to understanding, and understanding leads us to reverence, and that reverence leads us to praise, and praise is just part of our spiritual worship. You remember Pastor Jeff actually touched on this last week. His great message about loving God with all our soul and that great image he gave us about surrender. Turns out that loving God with our souls leads to worship, and it just turns out that so does loving God with our minds. There's a connection there. But I want us to remember that as we love God with our minds, that we do so with humility. And Paul really gets at this, I think, in that passage from 1 Corinthians. You know, I think in this passage, Paul is directly confronting human pride. And when you think about it, the Corinthians, they lived in a culture that celebrated intelligence, status, influence, and achievement. Does that sound at all familiar? I think maybe that's what's going on today. Our culture does the exact same thing. And just let me say for the record that none of those things is wrong. The problem comes when we elevate those things and we worship them more than we worship God. In that passage, Paul is so clear that most of us are not wise by human standards. And it's true that our world often measures wisdom by, you know, the number of degrees that have on your wall or the amount of money that happens to be in your bank account. But God measures wisdom differently. The prophet Isaiah reminds us, God speaking through the prophet here, he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." And it turns out, surprisingly, that God often chooses what the world considers foolish or weak to reveal his glory. And he does that because God wants us to trust in him rather than ourselves or rather than trusting in the ways of the world. One of the greatest barriers to wisdom is pride. You know, pride will tell you, "I already know." Wisdom says, on the other hand, "Teach me." Pride says, "I've got this." Wisdom says, Lord, surrender, I need your help. Pride closes the mind, but humility opens it. And so I think the really, truly wise person never stops learning because they never stop depending on God. And then he gets to the right, at the end of that passage, Paul makes an astonishing statement. Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. Notice he doesn't tell us here that Jesus just teaches wisdom. He says Jesus is wisdom. And so if you really want to know how God thinks, look at Jesus. If you want to know how God loves, look at Jesus. And especially look at who Jesus loved. You want to know how God responds to things like suffering or failure or temptation or conflict or fear? Look at Jesus. And so the wisdom of God here isn't simply a principle. The wisdom of God is a person. And this person has a name. And his name is Jesus. We love God with our minds when we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And so we come at last to our gospel lesson, where we meet two sisters. And in those two sisters, we see two completely different responses to Jesus. You notice Martha is busy serving. Mary was at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach. And you notice in this story, Jesus never criticizes Martha's serving. After all, hospitality is important. It was then, it is now. The real issue in this story is distraction. And it turns out that Martha was so busy doing things for Jesus that she was neglecting being with Jesus. And when she complains about her sister, Jesus says to her, Mary has chosen the better portion. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. That's the posture of a disciple. And there she was listening, she was learning, she was paying attention. She was giving Jesus her mind. And that's what loving God with our mind looks like. It means creating space. Space to learn. It means reflecting on God's truth and just allowing God's word to shape our thinking. And so I think here Mary is showing her love by focusing her attention, while poor Martha, she just became distracted because she was so busy serving Jesus. And I think there's a real message in this little story for the church today. And actually, it's a hard one for me as a pastor to talk about. Because, you know, as a pastor, we're always looking for people to volunteer their time and to serve in different ways. But when was the last time that you just sat quietly at the feet of Jesus and just simply listened? I think it's true that you can't love God with a distracted mind. Love requires attention. And attention is one of the greatest gifts you'll ever give. So let me close with this. Our four readings today, they just form a beautiful progression. Proverbs 2 teaches us to really seek wisdom. And we can do that, as Psalm 111 says, by studying God's works. And Paul in 1 Corinthians teaches us that we find real wisdom in Christ. And then finally in Luke, we're taught that the value is great when we sit at Jesus' feet, simply listening and learning. Taken together, these passages teach us that loving God with our minds is more than just acquiring knowledge. You can always Google facts about God. And there's a big difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Knowing God through Christ is a relationship. That relationship allows us to acquire God's wisdom, Christ in us, and us in Christ. So this week, my challenge for you is somewhere along the road to try to create for yourself some Mary time. Maybe 15 uninterrupted minutes every day where you can simply sit with Jesus through Scripture and through prayer. Not to accomplish anything, just to listen, just to be with Jesus. Amen.